Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Christine Wohar. She'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Christine Wohar, Executive Director of Frassati USA, and she's written a book called Finding Frassati, which is a great introduction to the life of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. And she provides a lot of great reflections and just as kind of a short biography and walks you through his life and who he was and how great of a Christian he was and how he wants us to grow in that life of virtue.
We're now going to a reflection with Christine Wohar.
Pier Giorgio was asked to give a speech to the young people in Polone. And on the occasion of the dedication of their flag, Pier Giorgio was the godfather of a flag, imagine. And when he spoke to the young people, he told them there are three important things. And if you wanted to follow Pier Giorgio, this would be what you do. He said there were three apostolates. The apostolate of good example. Pier Giorgio believed that we have to be giving a good example 24/7, that we don't compartmentalize our faith on a Sunday for 1 hour. The second was persuasion. Pier Giorgio said that the apostolate of persuasion is the most beautiful and the most necessary, that we need to go among our friends and tell them to follow the ways of God, that if we have friends that are living their lives in doing vices, that they need to follow the way of God, that it might be strewn with thorns, he said, but also roses. And lastly, he said the apostolate of charity, that we need to go among those around us who are less fortunate. He believed so strongly in this that he said what a blessing it was to be in good health, and that we had a duty to put our health at the service of others. To do otherwise would be to betray that gift of God. And that's what ended up taking Pier Giorgio's life, because He lived those apostolates and he put them into action. And those are the things that we can do to follow in his footsteps. Good example, persuasion, and charity. I love that about Pier Giorgio, because he made it simple enough for us to do the same. Verso l'alto.
Well, Christine, welcome to Life on the Rock. And this is your second time on Life on the Rock. So it's maybe been a while.
It has been. This is a full circle moment for me.
Oh, really?
Because my very first time promoting Pier Giorgio on television was on EWTN, Life on the Rock.
Wow.
I think it was 2008, 17 years ago.
Okay, yeah, that goes back a while.
Yeah, it's really, so to be here again is just awesome.
So Blessed Pier Giorgio, he's been somebody very close to you over the years, and you've also written an amazing book called Finding Frassati. It's a great read. It gives you a lot of insight, especially if you're new to the life of Blessed Pier Giorgio. In many ways I am, but I find him to be very fascinating. And there's just so much with him, and I think we see a lot of new saints coming up. Blessed Carlo Acutis, and
right.
Both of them will be canonized soon. And I think that's a great achievement of just the youthfulness of the church too. But you've known about Blessed Pier for a long time.
Pier Giorgio, yes.
Blessed Pier Giorgio. And, actually, that brings up something about his name.
Right.
Actually, so I made the slip.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to refer to Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati?
So that's one of the things I almost didn't put in the book, but decided it was worthwhile to do, because his middle name is not Giorgio, mm-hmm. which a lot of people think it is, because they see Pier Giorgio Frassati. His middle name is Michelangelo, and in Italian, they use Pier, it's a prefix, not a name on its own, and they combine it like Pier Giorgio, Pier Alfredo, Pier Luigi, Pier Francesco, but if you shorten it, you always use the attached name, Giorgio.
Yeah.
So in Pier Giorgio's family, in his friends, in his life, he would have never been called Pierre.
So, because you bring that up in like the second or third chapter in the book.
Right. And it's an American mistake,
yeah.
I think. I think the Europeans understand that, but it's a problem more here than anywhere else.
Yeah.
So,
it's very interesting, because I thought that was actually very insightful, because he actually had a lot of maybe nicknames that he gave to others.
He did.
And because of his group that he hung out with and that he formed a very close bond with.
Mm-hmm.
And but you're also involved with Frassati USA, and you've been doing that work for a good while now.
Right. Frassati USA is about 19 years old.
19 years? Okay. Now, how did you first hear about Blessed Pierre Giorgio Frassati?
Well, Brother John, I was a youth once. So actually, I'm from around Pennsylvania, around Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, okay. And I moved to Nashville, Tennessee to go to law school. And as soon as I got there, I met this young parish priest. He was the associate pastor. And he wanted to start a young adult group. And he asked me, which I still don't know why, because I was new to the town. I didn't know anybody. Why would I be the one to help him? Mm-hmm. And he came up one day, we were deciding, what do we call this group? And one day he said, we'll call it the Frassati Society. So, okay, whatever whatever you say, Father. And the funny thing about all of this is I am actually Byzantine Catholic still. And so for me to be working on a cause of a Frassati is a little bit unusual. But that was my introduction to Pier Giorgio. So that's God's sense of humor, because I came to Nashville for law school, and mm-hmm. I did go to law school. I'm still licensed to practice law, but it was very obvious from the beginning that Pier Giorgio called me.
And what were some of the elements maybe in his life that attracted you to him?
Well, the number one thing I have heard for all of these, so that was almost 30 years ago mm-hmm. when I found Frassati. And I would say the number one thing I've heard ever since, all the time, is his relatability. Mm. So for me, I'm Italian on my mother's side.
Okay.
Obviously, I love the fact that he's Italian, and trips to Italy require cappuccino and gelato and things like that. I think the real appeal for me, for Pier Giorgio, there are a lot of things. He was an athlete. He loved the mountains and the beach and all of these different things. But I think the number one thing with Pier Giorgio is that he shows us living in the world how to live in the world. Mm-hmm. John Paul II, when Pier Giorgio was beatified in 1990, in the beatification homily, he said, Pier Giorgio testifies that holiness is possible for everyone. And I think a lot of the saints, like if you go back to St. Francis de Sales, Mother Angelica spoke about holiness is for everyone. But I think you can say that, but then you look at people who are all popes and have the stigmata and they see the Blessed Mother. You know, they do these kinds of things. Pier Giorgio did the things that we do. He mm-hmm. went to school, he had friends, he had some habits like smoking smelly cigars. I mean, he was athletic, he was a practical joker, but he was in love with the Eucharist, the Blessed Mother, and he knew his faith, he was very educated in his faith, and they always said he was a 24/7 Catholic, and nobody laughed at Pier Giorgio because he was who he was. So he was mm-hmm. authentic.
Yeah.
He lived his faith. And I think in the culture that we're in today, we need examples like this. So I always like to say that Pier Giorgio takes away my excuses that I can't put it off and say, well, I don't see the Blessed Mother like St. Bernadette, so I can't be holy.
Right.
You know, like when I look at Pier Giorgio, I say, well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Granted, he came from an affluent lifestyle and he had a lot of privileges and things in those days, but he was still living in the world as we live in the world and facing the things that we face. So for me, I think that was to meet a saint like that was, you know, it was kind of very transformative. I had never heard of him until my associate pastor mentioned him to me.
One of the things whenever I was, you know, just reading about him, he strikes me as a very proud man, not in the sense of arrogant or like in sin, but somebody that like really takes to heart what he believes, like, no, this is who I am. There's such an integrity there. Because he wasn't just saying it, but he really put his faith into practice. And I would say even in a radical way, you know, and I was just kind of reading of him giving his, you know, tickets, bus tickets away for a poor person. And then he have to run home to make it on dinner on time, you know.
Right.
And it's kind of like, well, how many of us would really do that?
Right.
We'd probably make the excuse that, well, I got to be somewhere else. And I just can't do that right now.
Pier Giorgio said, what would life be without acts of charity? What would life be? And his sister, Luciana, said that he wrote out, I often show a picture of this when I give a presentation, but he wrote out in his own handwriting the lengthy scripture from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13, which we often hear at weddings, if I speak with the tongue of angels but do not have love. So he wrote that all out in his handwriting, and at the end that scripture says, in the end these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, and there's a little swoosh under that, you know, the greatest of these is love. And Luciana said that he carried that with him And that was what I think he's most probably known for. People see him on the mountains and they recognize him for that. But the acts of charity, which he did anonymously, and things like you said, giving away his bus tickets. He was asked, Pier Giorgio, I mean, his father was a senator, a newspaper publisher, an ambassador, and he had access to the best seats in the opera houses and the trains and everything. And he would sit up in the cheap seats if he went to a show because his friends might be up there. And on the train, he was asked, why don't you ride first class? And he said, they said, you're riding third class. Why are you riding third class? And he said, because there is no fourth class. So to him, money that he could save to give to the poor, he always said it was his money well spent. That was his investments.
Yeah.
His investment was in the poor.
And he was a very generous individual. Of just his involvement with the poor that really surprised his family too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pier Giorgio was known as the guy with the tasca verde in Italian. It means literally green pockets, but it meant like he was always broke. He kept ledgers, very detailed,
really?
Of money that he borrowed from people to help the poor. And you would see the word elemosina, which was charity, and he kept track.
Okay.
He was always robbing Peter to pay Paul, but very generous. And also, they knew that even though he was the guy who was always broke, if you needed something, that if you went to him, he would find a way.
Wow.
Yeah, and so Pier Giorgio, he got involved in the life, in the conferences of St. Vincent de Paul. And he always had pockets full of papers, of slips of names of people who needed help.
Okay.
And then he would go out on these missions and to bring things to the poor. But he wasn't just the kind of guy who would just like leave something or like write a check or whatever, which those things would help. But he would be there. He would comb the children's hair if they were unkempt.
And
if he would ask the maid, how much milk or bread or flour would you need if you were a family of four or if you had a newborn baby? And he put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
So he was really invested in and loved the poor. And he was doing these things, like you say, from an authentic spiritual charism, because Pier Giorgio said he was a daily communicant from the time he was 12 years old. And he said, Jesus comes to me every day in Holy Communion, and I repay him in my miserable little way, he said, by serving the poor.
Yeah.
So he thought himself a miserable little twig in the hands of God.
Well, that's remarkable. We have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get more into the life of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Great.
Well, Christine, you mentioned a name earlier in the first segment, Luciana.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Blessed Pier Giorgio's sister.
Yes.
What was their relation like?
They were very close. Pier Giorgio was 16 months older than Luciana. He was born in April and she was born the following August. When she was born and he first saw her, he said in Italian, portalo via means take it away. Because he wasn't happy about the notion. But
So he was a good older brother.
Yeah, he was perfect. In fact, if you read his letters, he writes a letter to his father when he's young saying, I promise not to hit my sister anymore.
Oh,
and then
you
go a little bit further and he really promises this time I'm not going to hit her anymore, you know. But a lot of people don't realize, I do mention it in the book, that Mrs. Frassati, the Frassatis had a first child before Pier Giorgio named Elda, and she died at 8 months old. So Mrs. Frassati, when she had Pier Giorgio and Luciana, she raised them like twins, and she kept them together because she felt like they could be a protection for one another. So they made their first Holy Communion, their first penance, their confirmation. They were even put in the same grade together. So they were very close.
Yeah.
They were very close. And Luciana tells the story. She got married in January of the last year of Pier Giorgio's life. She married a diplomat who was being sent off to The Hague. He was the ambassador to The Hague. And she writes, Luciana writes very movingly that Pier Giorgio saw them off at the train station and he wept, sobbed bitterly, like she had never seen her big, strong brother like that.
Oh, really?
Because he was so devastated now to realize that this sister he was so close to would be so far away from him.
And she lived a long life.
Luciana lived to be 105.
Wow.
Yes. 105.
That's very drastic. to her brother.
Yeah, I like to point that out to people, that in one family there was a child that lived 8 months. Pier Giorgio died at the age of 24, and Luciana at 105. And we don't know what number we get, so we can't hope for the 105. We might be the 24 version, so we need to focus on our holiness now, make it a project now to be holy.
And you met the sister, and what was that like?
It's very surreal even now. When I took on this leap of faith and leaving aside my professional career, and I went to Italy, and I arrived 2 days before her 104th birthday.
Wow.
So there I was, an American with the family, having ice cream cake out on the back veranda with the sister of a almost saint,
right?
And crazy. And then I was there for quite some time the next year as well, the last month of her life. And in the back of that book, there's a picture with me with Luciana, and it's probably taken about 3 weeks before she passed away at 105 years old. Yeah, that is an amazing thing to just have had that time to spend with her. And I was able to attend her funeral as well.
That would have been very interesting to learn just stories about him through her over all those years, you know, just how maybe intact those memories were.
And, we owe a lot to Luciana. We should pray for her, because she single-handedly, I think, brought us, Pier Giorgio brought him to life for all of us.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so to have met her and spent some time there with her is priceless.
Yeah. Now, kind of earlier, I heard you talking about some misunderstandings about Blessed Pier Giorgio. What are some of the misunderstandings that you see?
Well, obviously there's the name, getting his name wrong. If you're praying to Blessed Pier, those prayers will never get answered. he's not hearing that. And then so when I did this book, a lot of those things that would come up repeatedly, and some of them are very relational. Mm-hmm. His parents are often portrayed in a very unflattering way that's a misunderstanding. And I think if you're Italian, like if you're raised in an Italian home, or we were half Italian, I think you understand how Italians get along with each other, but Mr. Frassati is often written as an agnostic or an atheist. He was what I like to call just a fallen away Catholic. Mm-hmm. They had priests and nuns in the home often. It wasn't like he had any antagonism or animosity to the faith. Mrs. Frassati was a Sunday Catholic, but they loved their children. Mm-hmm. They had a difficult marriage, and they were on the verge of separation when he died. Mm-hmm. So there was always a strain and a tension there, but they loved their son, and sometimes books are so harsh toward the parents. So that's one thing.
Because his dad was also a very prominent man.
So he,
I imagine he was very busy.
Yeah, and like sometimes you'll read, and it's true that, for example, when Pier Giorgio died, he died on the 4th of July, which is his feast day, which I love in our country that we celebrate the 4th of July and our independence. It was his real Independence Day. You know, he said that year that he wanted to be free, truly free, because he was still working on his college degree 6 years later.
Oh, wow.
So he was truly free because he went to the Lord. But he was taking 6 years to finish his degree, and his sister had finished, you know, on time. And they would say things like, you're going to be a blockhead if you don't get serious. And he was dying. His grandmother was dying. Mm. And they didn't pay attention to him dying, that he was starting to get overtaken by this disease of polio. And his mother said, you know, at a time when I need you the most, you're basically good for nothing. So when you read those things in a book, you zero in on that, like these parents were terrible ogres. We all say things that, taken out of context, will not be the real story. There's misunderstandings about his relationship with the girl named Laura that he found himself falling in love with, but he chose not to pursue the relationship because he felt like it would have caused some more tension in the home. And people often blame his mother, that it was her fault that he didn't, you know, pursue a relationship with Laura, which isn't true at all. It was his decision and his idea to sacrifice that love for a higher cause. So just different things that people don't understand or have taken wrongly in reading other things, or just taking things out of context and just to try to fill it in to give the proper perspective of him.
Yeah, and kind of a final thought too. There was something you had written that I thought was actually very profound, because you're talking about
I hope there's at least one thing in there that was profound.
Well, but this was actually, I think, kind of a step above everything else. And it was in the sense that, because he had a great, I think, attraction to the sacraments, You said whenever you get away from the sacraments, we become spiritual drifters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, you know, mm-hmm. how in our world today, you see so much of that, mm-hmm. you know, God and religion, all that's kind of pushed to the side. But here's a young man that kept that so close to his heart. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that really does speak volumes. You know, it's very simple, but very eloquent.
Pier Giorgio humbles me because when I read his letters, I have to remember he died at 24. So all mm-hmm. of these things that he wrote, especially from the age of about 20 on, in the book of his letters, you read things from a 20-year-old, 21-year-old, 22-year-old, 23-year-old. And these are very powerful. He contemplated death at that age, which we all at that age think we're going to live forever and we can do whatever we want. But he knew that there was something to come. And he believed that peace was the most important thing. And staying close to the sacraments was like critical mm-hmm. for your, he said when he went to the mountains, he would go in adoration because he wanted to go, he encouraged people to be doubly strong in their spiritual muscles than in their physical muscles.
Oh yeah.
You know, he got it at an early age. He figured it all out.
And there is so much actually to cover in the life, although he lived a short life, just about his athleticism, what he found, his music, just the Italian culture, I think, in general. There's so much to explore in this book. It's very well written. But I think, too, as you know, we come up to the canonizations of Blessed Pier Giorgio, it's a great read for all families, whatever age you are. So I think it will bless you and your family as you read it and kind of journey through with the life of Blessed Pier Giorgio. Well, Christine, thank you for being on Life on the
Rock. Thank you, Brother John.
Father Mark, Christine, she's a wealth of knowledge with Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, and I think there's so much to cover in his life, and really, we didn't even cover that much, because there is so much. Even though his life is short, there's much to explore. What were some of the things that struck you?
Well, of course, the suffering. You know, he died of polio within a week, right? Mm-hmm. And at the time that the grandmother was dying, but also just seemingly some of the family tensions that were present in his life. And, you know, they weren't like super developed. I mean, in church on Sundays and stuff. But, you know, he came out of that home and seized hold of the faith. And you can't help but, you know, not think about how that cross present in his life sanctified him mm-hmm. and really made him holy. And I was struck too by the line she said that, you know, he'd have to borrow money to help the poor people, but they knew they'd get something from him if they came.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we can make excuses, I'm busy or whatever, I can't extend myself here, but he would always get something, make some kind of effort.
Yeah, he was a very generous soul. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. But yet one of the things too is, we didn't really touch about it on the show, but he was a great outdoorsman. He loved the outdoors. Yeah. He was a skilled mountain climber. And so there's a lot to explore. And he's, I think, a great witness, even to that strength that he possessed as well.
Yeah. And his love for his sister. Mm-hmm. You know, that being a Christian doesn't make us cold and aloof. You know, that we grow in our love for family and for the Lord, of course. He witnessed that. And he's just known for his zeal for life, you know, to the heights, right? To the top.
He did, yeah.
And so it's like, seize life, you know, and God's given it to us and we go for it.
Yeah. But he was a man very much involved with the whole Catholic Action. It wasn't just something he kept to himself, but something that he wanted to share with all. And he was also very political. You know, he loved a great political discussion, but he was really about standing up for the church and what the church teaches.
Mm-hmm. Well, we send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He send His spirit of evangelization upon you to fill your heart and to drive you into the mission of the church, the mission of the world. May God bless you, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Blood and water pouring from your side, it floods my heart, it brings me back to life. Blood and water pouring from your side, it floods my heart. To the heart, into knees at Calvary, thy love poured out and saved by grace. You lead me home into the heart of God, into the heart of mercy, into the heart.